This is the Kitchen and Bathroom Design Podcast from Taylist Media in association with KBB Birmingham 2020.
Welcome everybody to the Kitchen and Bathroom Design Podcast live recording here at the KBB show in Birmingham. I'm Managing Editor Andy Davis. And today, this episode, we're going to look at the smart home. I think the smart home has become a kind of catch-all phrase for lots of different types of technology. But what I want to look at today is what opportunities, if any, it gives designers and whether it increases the sort of palette of creativity that they can apply. So we've got a fantastic panel all lined up. Stephen Dick here from Residence Interior Design, you're based in the southeast there. We've got Rob Mascari from Mascari Kitchens in Nottingham. And we've got James Kington, the Group Manager, Connected Home and Digital Operations for a little company called BSH.
Hello.
So let's just do a little 30-second synopsis of sort of who you are and what you do, just to make sure everyone's familiar with your area of expertise. So Stephen, let's start with you.
Yeah, sure. So I'm Stephen Dick from Residence Interior Design. I work on private client residential projects, mainly in London, but also across the southeast as well. So as part of those projects, I'm working on the architectural side, the space planning, remodeling, all the way through, doing the kitchens, the bathrooms, consulting on some of the smart home as well, and all the way through to furniture and finishes. So the whole shebang.
Rob?
So I'm a designer and retailer. We're based in Nottingham. We design kitchens fundamentally as the first business. I'm also one of the lecturers on Buxton University Foundation degree in kitchen design. And actually the reason I'm at the show is because we've been working on a concept kitchen over the last 9 months, which is geared particularly towards the millennial generation, and there's been elements of tech involved in that. So that's where we're currently at.
Now, James, nobody would have heard of BSA, so tell us a little bit about them. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Okay. But give us an idea of what your role specifically is within BSA.
So my role is to look after the whole of the connected home for the appliances. So I was a project manager for launching Home Connect, our system, in the UK and also Ireland as well. So we launched that about 3 years ago now, and we're just going from there, really growing up. And I'm also responsible for innovation and e-commerce and digital operations as well.
Right, so you're a tech guy.
Yes, I'm a techie guy.
You're a techie guy, okay. So let's start by just kind of getting an idea of what the current status of the smart home, connected home is. Obviously, Alexa and Google Home have kind of had an exponential rise, which has really pushed the smart home agenda into the home. But you know, you must study this stuff all the time, James. What do you think the current status of it is in the mass market?
In the mass market, it's growing. There's a great deal of consumer interest in that. I think there are some concerns. We shouldn't shy away from talking about concerns, because there's security is the one that they all talk about. But I'd split that into two. Talk about security of the networks and also then privacy. The fundamental question I get asked a lot is my fridge going to drain my bank account? That's the question we get asked a lot.
It depends which model you buy.
Yeah.
Look, Stephen, let's ask you, because do people ask you for this stuff? Is it got to the point where every conversation you have about design will involve some element of technology?
No, not every conversation, but right. People are interested. But I'd say as much as my clients, my private clients, are interested, they're also very wary about it.
Right.
They're wary about things like obsolescence. They're wary about something that might go wrong. They wonder about whether they actually need it. They're interested in what's out there.
Mm.
They're interested in the possibilities. But I think they also, like I do, they want things to be simplified.
Yeah.
And part of a lot of the work that I do on design is simplifying things and making people's lives easier and smoother through that sort of simplification. And I think they have, especially in terms of home tech in kitchens especially, they see it as something which is actually complicating things at the moment, I think. That's the feeling I get from them.
What about you, Rob? You know, you're a kitchen retailer. You're a kitchen designer. Do customers come in and say, give me some of that smart home stuff? Or
I can echo a lot of Stephen's comments there, actually, that it's rare, if I'm honest with you, that people actually put it anywhere near the top of the list of priorities at this point. So, yeah, last week we did have a client, actually, and he said his one thing he wants in the kitchen is he wants a Wi-Fi oven. So, you know, on occasion
that
does happen.
Is that how you describe it, a Wi-Fi oven?
Yeah, he wants a Wi-Fi oven. Right. Yeah, he's not really interested in the colours or anything else.
Yeah.
He says, why do I want that? He says, because I can, because it's available. And that was kind of the answer.
I suppose this is the question. Are we at a level where we are the adopters, the early adopters of this stuff, are very gadget fiendish people? You know, the people who take this up first tend to be the ones who are getting it for the sake of getting it, because it's just the latest thing. What do you think, James? What's your research?
I think we're moving on from that now.
Right.
I think we're just coming to the end of that. Certainly we saw that a lot with Siemens, which tends to be a very techie brand anyway. But now we're seeing with Bosch in particular, and also Neff, people are getting more and more interested because there's so much you can do with it. If you're someone who likes to cook, for instance, you go down the route of creativity. Especially with Neff, you've got partnerships with people like Cookbook, and so you've got 87,000 recipes you can explore. So there's lots and lots of opportunities for people like that there now. I do agree that there is still some nervousness. I think some of it's around the terminology that people use. So I don't like the term smart home at all, because actually it implies a level of intelligence which simply isn't there yet and is actually probably a very long way off. So we prefer the term helpful home, which is also a Google term as well.
Right.
Actually, it comes from a piece of work that was done by a guy called Leonard Geithner, I think his name was, and it was called The Future Home's Wise, Not Smart. And it actually talks about how people would be much happier with, if you like, a friendly sort of grandmother on your shoulder just saying, oh, have you thought about this?
Yeah.
Don't forget to turn the oven off. Turn the lights on as you go out and go into the next room, but not too soon and not too late.
So the wise home is a better phrase.
Yeah.
But it's probably better than Wi-Fi oven anyway,
yes.
Isn't it? Yeah,
yes.
Probably better than that.
At least he knew it was a Wi-Fi oven.
Yeah. So look, give us an idea, because obviously BSH are investing huge amounts of money into
yes.
This is probably occupying most of your R&D at the moment. So give us the 5-minute pitch here on what your stuff can do.
Our stuff can do anything you like. So we categorise it in 4 areas. We have care, and we talk about care being the ability for you as a consumer to have that peace of mind moving forward. So we have a dedicated customer helpline who are specialists. They're trained in the connected home. Looking towards the future, we'll have this thing called digital twin, which will be around remote diagnostics. So if you have a problem, you'll be able to call us. We'll be able to identify what's going on with your machine, and then we can fix it first time because we'll know what's happening. Then we have connectivity, which is all about third-party integration with partners like Google, like Amazon Alexa, like Cookbook, and other services as well. Adds additional benefits to the product. So if you take the dishwashers right now, the dishwashers can reorder the dishwasher tablets via Amazon. So you never need to think about it again.
I mean, I love all this kind of stuff, so I'm a big fan, right? So, but as a designer, Stephen, is there creativity in this? This is all very functional, it's very useful.
I don't know how much it would affect my work on designing a kitchen or a bathroom or something like that, because functionally, in terms of how people are living in that space, how they're living their lives at breakfast time, at supper time, I don't think that's going to be any different from a design point of view. But I think it is a lifestyle choice for them, how they want to sort of run those elements of their life. And my kind of, I suppose, going back to simplicity, the sense that I have is that, and also from going around the show over the last couple of days and seeing a lot of this tech around, is that there's kind of 2 elements to it. One is the amount of control that we can have over things that are happening in the kitchen, in the appliances. And the other is that kind of aspect of simplicity. It feels a bit like we're in a control fest at the moment. There's a huge amount of granular control that we can have about every aspect of what the oven is doing, what the fridge is doing, whatever. But it's kind of more stuff happening. And I think, but I'm very optimistic about the stuff. I don't want to sound negative about it, because what I see is it maybe developing into something where the simplicity will come, when perhaps, I mean, you mentioned you don't use smart home at the moment, but maybe it will become smarter. And maybe that simplification can actually come at some point down the line. Well, I don't know how far away, but
yeah, and I think that's where voice is actually really, really good. So when you've got Alexa or Google, you can simply ask them to do things. You can say, Alexa, turn my oven on. You can set the cooking function. You can ask it, tell it how long you need it to do, and if you need to change temperature halfway through, you can ask it to do that. So there's that simplification is definitely on the way. If you're talking about artificial intelligence and things, that's some way off.
Yeah.
We have things like image recognition in the fridges, so we can recognise items in there. We can give you storage recommendations on that, and we can choose offer you recipes that you might like to use with that food stuff. But
so, Bob, do you see any? Yeah, you design kitchens every day. Do you see any aspects of this where you can exercise your creative muscles with it? I'm thinking particularly things like, for example, lighting. Right, lighting is a classic bit of smart home stuff that you control with voice, control on a screen, and lighting can change the mood of a room almost instantly.
As we've been working through the Ecomo project over the last few months, there was an area of tech that we wanted to look into and research, and it's the obvious candidates of control the lighting, turn the oven on, do all this, that and the other, and what we tried to do with the design there was firstly understand, you know, what that generation, what the, their expectations are, basically. And they're not amazed by tech. This is the thing. It's just, it's tech. I mean, great, you know, if I'm, what do you mean I can't turn the oven on while I'm sat on the bus on the way home from work? Of course I can download the Siemens. If it's not there, they're more surprised it's not there than thinking, oh, look, it's there. So that was the first thing that we noted. So I suppose on the back of that, we kind of thought, well, we need to make this much more of a seamless operation. And rather than that doing a bit of that and a bit of that and a bit of that, we looked at actually a hypothetical app for the kitchen. So we called it the Ecomo app. We even sort of got a funky download now in the App Store type thing as a bit of a graphic up there, which is quite cool. And the idea really was to sort of look at the wider approach to how this kitchen works. So it's not just about turning the oven on or the lights on. It's actually about, let's start to consider how the operator, the owner, wants to customise it and use the technology to their benefit. In particular, waste reduction is really, really a key topic, and it's something that at the minute people think, brush it under the carpet and forget about it. But what we're trying to think of is actually if you stick it in the bin, it doesn't need to be in the bin, you know, the tech should be saying, hold on a minute, do you really need to go in the bin, or can you go somewhere else, or is there some other home for you, is there somewhere you can reuse that food, is there something else, can it go to, you know, create something. So the app would give you suggestions based on what waste you want to sort of reduce, and it becomes much more about the lifestyle of using the kitchen rather than just the individual functionality of turning stuff on. And the tech's been there for ages to scan stuff in the fridge and reorder when it's empty, or dishwasher tablets, etc. So what we tried to do is really hypothesise the tech to actually become much more seamless and integrated as a whole.
Okay, so
yes, in answer, yes, I think the creatives can look to use it, but maybe slightly more integrated.
I mean, a designer's ultimate job, Stephen, isn't it, is to understand what the client wants, mm-hmm. to meet the brief they have. So does this give you an opportunity to say, actually, there's some technology that can help you meet that brief? So if you're thinking of a big open plan mm-hmm. space, but they want to obviously have a slightly broken plan element to it where there's sort of dining and cooking and everything else, you can say, actually, there's technology that can allow you to change the lights, to set the mood, and that is a creative thing.
Oh, very much so. From that point of view, yes, I suppose I was thinking of lighting control and scene control as being something which has been around for quite a long time. I mean, probably been doing it for 10, 15 years.
But the interface with it has become simplified. That's what this gives you.
I suppose it does, from a voice control point of view. I mean, we've had that sort of control for a while. I've been using it for many, many years. I think I've seen a kind of a change in use case as the technology has been so much more accessible, you know, financially. And, you know, sort of 10 years ago, I might have done a project where the client would choose different scenes for different settings for breakfast or supper time or something like that. If I go around to my brother-in-law's house, he can be in the dining room and he will say, Alexa, can you turn the sitting room lights pink? Because his son is playing on the Xbox, just to drive him nuts. It's kind of been used in a different way, that sort of technology. It's not, well, it's not smart in a way, but it's throwing up all these kind of fun things, but that's not really what it's about.
No.
It's trying to, I don't know, I'd like to see it go somewhere where it makes life simpler, it makes life easier. There are things which then can perhaps start to happen without us thinking about it. I mean, I saw on one of the stands, I saw a fridge which can have details of everything that's stored inside it with all the use by dates and all that kind of thing. But you have to kind of book the food into the appliance. I mean, it's then fantastic because then you can say, what can I cook with all the food that's going to be out of date in the next 2 days? And that's, you know, that's great. It's really useful. It reduces wastage again, as Rob was talking about. But wouldn't it be fantastic if, and maybe this is the next stage, when you're running out of things, it has the recipe sort of suggestions, as James was saying. You can send that to your online retailer. It comes the next day. When it's picked, perhaps in the supermarket, when it's picking, it knows what the dates are. And those dates go back to the fridge. So actually, when you unpack your shopping back in, it's kind of all seamless. That's where I think it would be.
The thing is, if I talk to normal people about this stuff, right? Not people in this space. Normal people, they just say, "I just don't need that. I'm quite happy to get the milk in and out of the fridge." I think part of the problem we have with this is the killer application is not the technology is incredible, but the killer application that makes people really think, "Oh, this is going to make my life better." Alexa's gone into every home or Google Home for one reason only, and that's because people can say, "Alexa, play, you know, The Killers or something," because of music or radio. Are we missing the killer application, James?
I think we are. I would say at the moment it's growing. So at the moment we're developing more and more. And as manufacturers, we learn all the time. So we're learning from the way that consumers are using these appliances. I think consumers, as they do more with Alexa and with Google, then those will also develop more. Google's fantastic at learning an awful lot. So it starts to learn your routines. It's quite clever in the way that it works. And then it starts to respond in the way that it thinks you want to know. So I think we are not there at the killer application yet. We will be before long. And if we talk about food going off, you know, I know that Google, for instance, registered a patent about 2 years ago with a device that can sniff the food inside the fridge. So wow. They can tell when the food is going off. So you can imagine that it's not far around.
Google knows.
Google knows everything.
Google knows. Yeah, well, knows.
Yeah, exactly.
But I guess that's part of it, isn't it? For people who want to adopt technology, they will adopt technology. But until the one thing comes along that makes people really think this has solved a problem, this is going to make my life better. For example, with ovens, oven technology has got to a point, or cooking technology has got to a point where there's a million functions on each device and they're all amazing, but most people just use two. So I think that this technology allows people to use the existing functions of their appliances better because they can use their iPad or whatever to control things.
Yeah.
But that one thing that makes people think, oh, that's going to make my life a million times better, it just ain't there yet. Well, Rob, what do you think?
So I think that there needs to be a bit of reward back for anything like this. People need to see, you know, a tangible benefit of doing it. So, you know, turning a light switch on, the reward is a bit of a lazy reward. I think we need to see a globally thinking reward, and if we can use technology to get people to think a little bit differently, to give them a nudge in the right direction, on top of all the other benefits of making life easier, but done in a very seamless way. And I, you know, stress that point, that it's not a case you shouldn't really be having to sell it as
technology.
As a, yeah, shouldn't be having to sell the technology as an add-on or a top-of-the-range model. Should just become part of it and just slip in. But I think the difficulty is, well, this is nothing new in tech, is it? You had Betamax, VHS. There's always sort of rival competing tech companies or tech ideas, and hence the reason you get a bit of that and a bit of that and a bit of that, and people kind of think, well, forget it. Pulling it all together, maybe there should be more of a, I don't know, a centralised way of operating.
Is the problem here, Stephen, for creative people, for designers, that the most useful applications of this technology are actually the least sexy? Remote diagnostics.
Yeah,
you're never going to sell remote diagnostics to
no
a client
interesting
thing,
are you? At all.
But
absolutely.
It's incredibly useful because obviously you can update the software on it, it can give you different programs.
But it's like Rob was saying, perhaps all the appliances should just have that, and it's not a special thing.
Yeah.
That's something which is just part of owning a modern appliance, perhaps. I mean, I think there's a lot of benefits from, you know, I've heard about the things which you're probably aware of, where, you know, the alarm clock goes off, the home knows your alarm's gone off, so it's primed the coffee machine. As you're coming downstairs, it starts making the coffee, and when you get into the kitchen, bang, it's there, it's fantastic. And I think it's things like that are great, but I think it's also, we shouldn't lose sight of what our kind of, I suppose, our life experiences are in terms of how we live and actually some of the joy in some of the things that we do. You know, for instance, the joy in making a cup of coffee, the joy in grinding the beans. It's like we talk about home sensors, smart home sensors, but we've got sensors everywhere, you know, touch, sound, smell. So, you know, you grind the beans and you smell something. You start to put more effort into it and you're using your hands and touching things. The more effort you put in, sometimes the more enjoyment you get out of it, as it starts making a sound when you put it on the hob, it's going, you know, your ears going, you kind of get this multi-sensory experience and a sense of anticipation. And so that when you have the coffee, it's, you know, in theory it's even better than it would have been if it was just put there right in front of you. And I think there's elements of that which can be a bit lost in this drive towards automation.
I think the kitchen industry will always have an element where they want to be hands-on and want to cook and they want to use, you know, because they want to do something. I don't think it's ever going to go
and
to
the cooking
to
itself.
Of robotic arms. Sort of
it's very therapeutic, you know, the act of cooking and putting care into making a dish.
That'd be a Siemens product, wouldn't it, the robotic arms?
Oh, no.
That wouldn't be an F1.
We'll be more like Star Trek, you know, where they have the replicator.
Well, look, let's have a look at some of the cons of this then, because you mentioned them earlier, and there are things that come up again and again when you talk to designers and retailers about this stuff. So you must have these problems all the time, or these questions all the time. So the most common one is the speed of obsolescence. I get a product, a kitchen's there for 10 years, but that oven's going to be out of date in 18 months because technology is moving so rapidly. So what's your response to that?
And my response to that is, we recognise that. We know full well. So if you take a Bosch oven, for instance, or a Bosch fridge, sometimes they're out there for over 15 years. So we know that full well. So we are not interested in that kind of obsolescence where you have to replace it every 2 years. What we are doing is focusing on a single platform, which will allow us to remotely update software. You might even get to the stage where you can buy add-on features that you can download. As long as the appliance itself has the functionality and the sensors it needs to use that in a physical way, then it should be possible further down the road that you just be able to update it. We don't want obsolescence because it's a waste. But from anything, we don't like waste in BSH.
The other thing that always comes up is, and anyone who's tried to get on the Wi-Fi here at the NEC will appreciate that Wi-Fi can be absolutely terrible. And so there is an infrastructure required within the home, a reliable infrastructure required within the home, that you need to be able to make this stuff work.
Absolutely. I want to come back on the obsolescence point, because it just reminded me that there was an announcement by the government in January that manufacturers are now required to put on information about security updates and at the point of sale,
right,
and how long those will be available for. So that will start to make a difference, and as a consumer you'll want to start looking at that information, because if you see that it's only going to last you 6 months, that's a big no, really.
Okay. This happened with the Sonos recently, didn't it? Which I think has probably shocked a few people, they were basically writing that off. That is a problem.
But what about the Wi-Fi infrastructure? Because you need it to run all this stuff on, and if that isn't there, or reliable.
Yeah, I mean, Wi-Fi is improving all the time. The networks that provide the Wi-Fi to the router are improving all the time. We all have challenges with BT or Virgin Media from time to time. We all know that. I'm quite familiar with it. But one thing I would always say is that there's some simple things you can do. If you're getting an appliance, a Wi-Fi appliance, you want to put it in your kitchen, go to the point where you're putting that appliance in with your tablet or your smartphone, and just check you've got a decent Wi-Fi connection in there, that you can see the Wi-Fi on the phone. That'll give you one straight answer. Then the second thing is actually start to count up the number of appliances and the number of devices you've got in your home. If you've got teenage kids, it's quite frightening. I know when my son's come home from university, I can count over 25 devices connected to the router at any one time. If you've got a router that's maybe a little bit old, it's maybe over 5 years old or even older, I know people with routers that are 10 years old on there, they can't cope with today's number of devices. There is a limit.
But here's the question, I suppose, and you're a good example of this, Rob. Do you know, as a kitchen designer, how Wi-Fi works?
I'm probably bad at it. I'm building a house at the minute, so I'm running miles of Cat 6 cable everywhere to try and eliminate Wi-Fi. Because that's the only way you can guarantee by hard wiring. You have to all go to a comms unit, basically. But even just future-proofing it, the theory is you just chuck Cat 6 cable wherever something techie might go in the future. My experience with Wi-Fi has never been great. It comes and goes.
But I suppose,
how it works? No,
that's what I mean. Is this a missing string to your bow as a designer, that you've suddenly got to learn how the infrastructure of Wi-Fi works, Steve? What do you think? Do you understand it?
No, I don't think so. I think it's a case of understanding the overall home infrastructure at the start, and then putting in things like, as Rob says, putting in things like the hardwired cabling, because then you can add further access points. If you need more Wi-Fi in the future, you can add those to the cabled points and increase the range of it without having to rely on itself, as it were. So I think that's possible. I think my concern with things like that is, if you have some random issue with your network and you have all these connected appliances, or they're having to talk to the cloud, which I know from talking to some of the manufacturers here, they do rely on the cloud even to talk from an appliance there to an appliance there. If that connection goes, and I live in a rural location, the connection does go, still going to work? What's going to happen? Are we, what are the appliances going to do?
Most people of a certain age, okay, that will change as the millennials get older, but most people, let's face it, the ones with the money, what happens when it all turns off? Who do they phone up? Who do they talk to? Do they talk to the kitchen guy who's fitted the kitchen in the first place? Are they trying to get hold of Virgin? Are they trying to get hold of you?
I think it's difficult, because you have to be able to identify where the problem is in the first place. So if it's a problem with the appliance, then you need to contact the appliance manufacturer, or you could contact the retailer potentially as the supplier. But they will only contact the manufacturer. If it's a Wi-Fi issue, you need to look at the router itself. What's happening there? Is there a network supply to the router itself?
But I suppose the reason why I'm asking this is, if you're the kitchen designer, do dealing with that client, you've built up a relationship with them, you're designing something that is their dream space, you understand what their brief is, and you are introducing this technology into part of it. That customer is expecting you to understand how it all works and how to make it work best for them. The last thing you want to do is hand that client over to a call centre trying to get something to work. Do you feel that you need to... Is there an educative issue here with current retailers or designers that they have to suddenly make themselves tech experts?
I think it's probably necessary from a retailer point of view. I think as my role as a kind of effectively as a generalist across all areas of interior design, it's impossible for me to have quite that much technical expertise. And I don't think any client would expect me to have it. But I think they would also be...
But they'd expect you to know more than them.
Yes, and I might. But I might not. But I might. And I think they would also, they've got the common sense to understand that there should be some form of backup. And where's that backup going to come from? They probably wouldn't expect it to be from me on a very technical level. But they're going to want to see something in place somewhere, whether that's retailer or manufacturer level. They will expect it.
Because you're teaching kitchen design on a degree course, Rob. Would understanding technology like this be part of a curriculum?
It's not currently. Will it become that? Possibly. Maybe probably, if further we go down with it. I think the onus would always have to be on the manufacturer, though. And I think, a disclaimer as such would have to be said, if somebody wants something very techy and very advanced, that I would either bring in a third-party tech expert, or if it's in a sort of just a more simplistic thing, so if it's just a couple of basic appliances, then I think it would have to be fairly clearly stated that any problems, even if it is the Wi-Fi packing up, there's no point calling me because I really wouldn't have a clue how it works.
You must
go to the manufacturer.
If you project this forward into the future, this will be they have to have a working knowledge of plumbing, for example, or a working knowledge of wiring. They have to have a working knowledge of Wi-Fi.
That's going to where does a kitchen designer's job role start and finish?
Let's finish this off here with, imagine we're at KBB 2022 and we're sat here. I'm going to start with you, James. Will we be living in the Matrix by that point?
No.
Right, let's rule the Matrix out. How about killer robots in the future? Will we have gone past Judgment Day?
No.
Okay, so in that case, what is your prediction 2 years' time? What will this be looking like?
I think we'll see a lot more things connected to one another, so we'll see a lot more appliances connected to one another. We will see a lot more routines happening. So as Stephen was saying, you walk down in the morning, the coffee machine will already know and it'll start making your coffee. Things will start happening. You drive home, the oven switches on already. The lights come on as you've just arrived in the drive. The garage door opens, you drive in, it shuts. It's all that kind of thing will be happening. We'll start to see a little bit more of AI. That's definitely going to happen. But I think we may also start to see a simplification of things. We talked about the complexities of fascia panels and controls. I think we'll start to see that simplify because the advantage of using tablets and we will be able to simplify those fascia panels and therefore that should make manufacturing a lot cheaper.
What do you think, Rob? As a guy who runs a retailer, designs kitchens, what's your view of the future?
Well, 2 years isn't a very long time. I don't think anything would be hugely different in 2 years.
There's an argument that in technology it is.
Yeah, I suppose so. But I don't know. What I'd like to, I'd like to see technology used in a capacity that we can start helping environmental issues as well, rather than just being convenience. And I think we'll all get the reward from that. And I think that's something, not just tech-wise, something the whole of the industry needs to wake up to a little bit and start to try and find solutions for that.
I think that's a really interesting point, though, because one of the things that we are finding with the Internet of Things and with connected appliances is that you are starting to see energy optimization rather than energy efficiency. So you're using the right program in the right way to do the right thing. And that's what the thing about the Internet of Things does. Fundamentally.
What do you think, Stephen?
I'd like to see more of that, and I think with the higher end appliances, some of those which have much more sensor technology and water usage optimization, all that kind of thing in the laundry appliances and energy usage, all of that just being, I think, more standard across all of the products. I expect to see, a continuum of this control fest that we currently have, but I think. I would imagine in a couple of years, I'd like to think that most consumers will have a bit more of a feel for what is a gadget for gadget's sake and actually what is something which is going to sort of enhance my life. And I think with that will hopefully come a drive towards some of that more, the smarter technology, the actual genuine simplification of our lives. And I think that's where the value will lie. Whether it will come in 2 years or not, I don't know.
Yeah, or we could all be killed by robots in the future. Yeah. But that's, you know, I'll go with your option. Look, gents, thank you very much for your time today. It's been really interesting. We will do this again in 2 years' time, because I'm sure it will all have changed again. So James, Rob, Stephen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew.